Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Parkman Congregational Church. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I'm going to like to invite you to open up to Genesis chapter 17. We're going to be looking at the whole chapter. It's going to be a little bit of a reading for me this morning. My mouth might get dry. But it can be found on page 22 of your pew Bibles if you don't have your own Bible with you. That is Genesis chapter 17, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 27. Hear the word of the Lord. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations out of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every man among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give her you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. This is the word of the Lord. Whoo. What a mouthful. 600 words. One of the Bibles I have says it takes on average about 4 minutes to read through that. And taking a major chunk out of this time this morning to read that was something I needed to do. It needed to be read. We are 6 weeks into the story, into the journey through Abraham's life. We are at the midway mark of that journey. 24 years have gone by since Abraham started following God and was led out of Ur. And if you look at the scripture today, God is telling a 99-year-old man and his 90-year-old wife that they are going to have a child and that he's going to bless that child. And it's the promised child that they have been waiting 24 years to finally get. And like you or I, Abraham finds this absurd and he falls to the ground laughing. I mean, how in the world can a 99-year-old man have a child? How in the world can a 90-year-old woman have a child. Abram questioning God doesn't seem too far out of touch when you think about it, but he is considered the man of faith. And up to this point, we have to admit that we don't see that much faith in Abram's life. He was an idolater when we met him in week one. In week two, we saw how he lied about his wife to Pharaoh so he wouldn't be killed. In week three, he questioned God. He questioned, Lord, are you really going to give me this promised child? It's been 10 years that I've been following you and I'm still childless. In week four, we learned that he not only questioned God about this child, but he started questioning God about the promised land that God was showing him. But God gave him a covenant that God will take care of him. God alone. In week five, Abram had marital problems because Sarai gave her servant to Abram, and all of a sudden she had a child, which made Sarah mad, even though she had suggested it. The word is heckle. I had to look it up. It can mean what the Bible says, but there are a few other translations depending on how it's written. The verb tense. And now we have this week Abraham being 99 years old, and he's laughing at God saying, how in the world am I going to have a child when I'm this age and my wife is way past child rearing, conceiving ages? Abraham really seems like the man of faith, honestly, that we hear about in the New Testament. And if you didn't get the sarcasm out of that, I'm sorry. But doesn't he? He seems like this man that we see in James 2, verses 23. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He really seems like the guy who waited patiently that we see in Hebrews 6, 15. He waited patiently for what was promised him. The reason I point these out is because people need to realize that God calls us. And as we've learned over the last 2 weeks, God's the one doing the work. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the fact that a smoking fire pot and a blazing torch were part of the covenant that God had made with Abram. God cleanses us as we are following him. God does all the work. All we do is follow and hopefully say, yes, Lord. So even though we see Abraham up to this point questioning God, and many times we see Abraham veering off the path of God's will, it should encourage us that during our own times of struggles, that during our own times of trial, when we're questioning God, it should encourage us that Abraham did it as well. It should encourage us and get us running to God, get us seeking God's wisdom, because God has our best interests in mind all the time. But so often, we find ourselves just like Abram, and we question. We find ourselves like Abram, like, God, why are you making me wait? Why can't you do this now? We want everything done in our time. We want it done in our way. And I can't help but thinking back to my life in the ministry. I returned to following God, to going to church 17 years ago. I finally said, okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And over the last 17 years, I was in the ministry and I was a leader. But for 14 and a half of those years, I had to work full time in another job just to make ends meet. I dealt with it well. I looked at myself and I said, well, I'm kind of like Paul. I'm a tent maker. And I think Paul's the man, so I just followed in Paul's footsteps. But there was always this nagging feeling in the back of my mind. Lord, why am I not in the place that I should be in? I'm learning a lot here at seminary. I'm getting a lot of experience. But why do I have to work full time in order to do 20 to 30 hours worth of ministry a week? I was putting in 70 hours a week. Why can't I just do full time ministry, Lord? And it was a question that was always in the back of my mind. It caused me frustration because I knew what I was called to do, and it wasn't even me. Everyone around me knew what I was called to do, but it just never seemed to come. And as we all know now, it finally came, but it was 17 years later. And man, that is a long time to wait to find your place God wants you. But it's not as long as 24 years like we're seeing here with Abram. And I'm still in my prime. Okay, I'm old. But Abraham was 99 years old. Can any of us blame him for laughing at God and really questioning God? Okay, yeah, you can laugh. Keep doing it. But just remember, God is in charge. That's what I was going to say next anyway. God is in charge. He continues to purify us. He continues to create us anew. And that is exactly what we see God doing with Abraham right here. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make you make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give to you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." God is reaffirming everything we have heard since Genesis, and we ran into Abraham. He's confirming everything that he said, reaffirming that he's been telling Abraham for the past 24 years. "Abram, I will give you a son. I'm going to make you numerous. Make your descendants numerous. I'm going to give you this land as your inheritance, and your descendants will occupy it." But God takes it one step further here. God changes Abram's name. "You will no longer be called Abram," which means the father of many, but now you're going to be called Abraham, which means the father of many nations. God took his name and changed it. God gave Abram new meaning, which is a foreshadow of what's to come. A foreshadow even for the Israelites coming out of Egypt, because it didn't just allude to them. It alluded to all those who were followers of the Lord, that through this promised offspring, who Abraham looked forward to, we will all be blessed. It alluded to those who have been made one through Christ Jesus. God changed Abram's name when he changed it to Abraham. And he was showing Abraham that he wasn't just changing his name. He was changing who Abraham was as a whole being. He was purifying Abraham. And we have to look back to the visual from 2 weeks ago of the smoking pot. "I will cleanse you." But God continues. "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male shall be circumcised amongst you. You are to undergo circumcision, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, even those born in your household, or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting one. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.'" The sign of the covenant that Abraham was given, and I'm really having a hard time focusing on this one section, but especially, we're seeing that his name has been changed from Abram to Abraham, and I'm slipping. I'm tongue-tied right now. But the sign of this covenant is circumcision, this physical sign that differentiated the people of God from the other people. And it is a symbolic reminder for the people of God. It's a reminder to them of what God has done for them. But more than that, it's a reminder for them to keep their eyes on the Lord. Circumcision is the cutting off of excess. In the scripture, it's not just talked about in this manner. We also hear, we get this notion in other parts of the scripture where you have your heart circumcised as well. And it's important for us to remember that. Because like the melting pot, it was a reminder to cut off all the excess, the things of this world. It was a reminder for us just to keep our focus on God. And as with the covenant we saw 2 weeks ago, when God walked through the cut-up animals, It was understood by the two parties what was going to happen here. When God walked through the two animals, it was a sign of, if I keep this covenant with you, I will bless you. I will make you right. If I break this covenant, I will be destroyed. And here's another covenant. It's one that we need to keep. And if we break this one, just think about it. If you keep my covenant, the Lord commands, if you follow him with everything you have, God will purify you. Just like with the melting pot, he'll burn off all the impurities. But with circumcision, if you keep my covenant, I will cut off all the impurities. I will cut off all those things that aren't right in my sight. But if you don't keep my covenant, if you don't follow the covenant, if you don't follow me, I will cut you off from my people. It's covenant mentality. I will cut you off from your inheritance. And this parallels with baptism today. It's a symbolic reminder for us of what God has done for us. Whether it's full dunking, and don't let me do that to you, or just a sprinkling, it reminds us of the flood and what happened during the flood. It reminds all those who are followers of the Lord that God will wash us clean, that God will cleanse us. But it's also a reminder for us who are not following the Lord, for whatever reason you're not following the Lord, that if you have been baptized and you turn away from him, just like with the flood, he will wash you away. He will utterly destroy you, which is why baptism isn't just something we choose to do. We don't choose to get baptized, just like the Israelites didn't choose to get circumcised. We get baptized because we're told to do it. Whether we came to faith and then had a believer's baptism, or as in the case of my children, when it is time, and that time is coming, Karen and I will bring them up for baptisms. And we bring them into the covenant that God has made with us that we are following. Because it's supposed to be a reminder of what the Lord has done. It's not a reminder of what we have done. And that means here in the case of infant baptisms that as parents you are held responsible for raising your kids up in the scriptures. You're held responsible for raising your kid in the Bible. And even with dedication, you're responsible. But with the covenant, if you really understand the concept of covenant, and Abraham did, you really get the fact that you will be held accountable for not following that covenant. Because God's in charge, but we do need to follow. And in doing so, he washes us clean. He cuts off all the impurities, and he changes us into who we were really meant to be. With Abraham, God changed his name, meaning man of many, to man of many nations. And he does the same for Sarai. God also said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, you are no longer to call her that, but you will call her Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down and he laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you next year at this time. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male, and circumcised them as God told him. God gives us meaning, and sometimes that meaning changes who we are at our core. Your name is at your core. Your name, everyone knows you by your name. And we've seen it already. Simon was changed to Peter. Saul was changed to Paul. Abram and Sarah were changed to Abraham and Sarah. Because God is the only one who can change us. God is the only one who can give us meaning. He's the only one who can fulfill us and take away the pain and take away the questions that we are always asking ourselves. But that doesn't mean that we will be perfect when God starts. God has changed Abraham's name. God has been faithful to Abraham for the last 24 years. But Abraham has failed along the way. He's lied, he's slept with a servant's wife, and now he's laughing at God. And this should give us hope. All this time, while Abraham has been doing all of this stuff, all of this not following God, he is still considered the man of faith. This should encourage us to understand that we're no different than one of the early church fathers, and to know that even after God has made his promise to us, just like with Abraham, we're still not going to get it. We still want to try and earn it on our own somehow. We want to say, hey, God, look what I've done for you. See what I did. And we just don't get it. Abraham wants the son he brought into being on his own to be the son of promise. Even though it is laughable to think that Abraham was the one who brought Ishmael into being, God allowed it. God formed Ishmael in his mother's womb, as we see in the book of Psalms. And while we might not be bringing children into this world out of our own strength, I would like to argue with that one sometimes. Because we do things out of our own strengths, and we do this all the time thinking we're going to get closer to God. Maybe it's charity. We do it thinking we're going to get closer. Maybe it's a certain ministry. Maybe we're acting a certain way. Maybe we're looking to God, trying to get him to pay attention to us. Look, Lord, see me. See what I've done. And God is sitting back there just saying, follow me. I'm going to show you the way. And believe me, it's not going to be the way you think it's going to be. And for Abraham and Sarah, it was for a 99 and 90-year-old couple to conceive a child whose name was Isaac. And Abraham laughed. He laughed as we so often do when we find out what God expects of us. Going to Ohio? Yeah. Or maybe we don't laugh. Maybe we just act indifferent. God calls us all to follow him, and the covenant is our reminder. If we follow him, he will cut off all of our impurities. If we don't follow him, he will cut us off from his promise. He has already taken it all into his own hands, and all he asks us to do is to follow him with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our soul, with all of our being, with all of our strength. It isn't always an easy thing to do in a world where we can get fast food, fast cash, fast everything. And God is saying, slow down. Follow me. If you're willing to wait, you will be blessed. And in Abraham's case, it took 25 years for that child of promise to come about. It took another 2,000 years before the real child of promise, Christ, came about that Abraham was looking forward to. And I'm not as important as these guys, but it took me 17 years of waiting on the Lord. If we're willing to wait on the Lord, if we're willing to hold on to that promise that he has given all who follow him, then we will truly be blessed. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and Ishmael were both circumcised on the same day. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised as well. I keep pointing out during this sermon series of how Abraham wasn't the man of faith we think he was. He wasn't the man of faith that we would even consider as a man of faith. But he was the man of faith as God created him to be the man of faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Because even though Abraham laughed at God in this section of the scripture, he also believed God. He believed what God was saying, and then he went out and did what God told him to do. As we're learning through the scriptures, and as we're diving in more and more, my hope is that we're all challenged. The scriptures should challenge anyone who says they're a follower of Christ. The scriptures should make anyone mad because the scriptures aren't inclusive in our modern society's sense of the word. They're not inclusive in the way we want them to be, and they offend all societies, all nationalities, all backgrounds, because the scriptures look at us, God looks at us and tells us we are sinners. The scriptures tell us that, and God tells us that we have fallen short of the glory of God and we deserve the wrath of God, which nobody wants to hear. But the scriptures also say that if you're following God, which is something that we can't choose to do, God does the work. It tells us that if we're following God, God will be the one that cleanses us. God will be the one that purifies us. God will be the one that makes us right in His sight, which He's been fulfilling since Christ walked on earth. Christ was the promised child, the heir that was promised to Abraham, whom Abraham looked forward to, the heir that through whom all nations will be blessed. It's Jesus. And He died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross to cleanse us, but He also rose again from the grave a few days later and right now is seated at the right hand of the Father. And anyone who calls on Him, anyone who calls on Him, He works with. He cleanses. He's their Savior. He does the work we follow. And I thank God for that. I thank God for His saving grace. I thank God for the opportunity to be used by Him. And I thank God for everything I have, even if at times like Abraham, I doubt or even laugh at God. Because I'm just a human. I struggle and I'm weak. But thanks be to God, we're all here today. Would you pray with me? Lord, we come before You this morning just seeking Your will, knowing that at times it's so hard to understand what You want from us, God. It's so hard when things just don't seem to be going our way or when, oh Lord, it's just hard. We ask that You give us insight, that You show us Your love, that You hold us in Your arms and give us peace and comfort so that there's no question, that there's no doubt. We also ask that You do this so that You can use us and send us out into a lost and dying world, Lord. We thank You for what You've done for us on the cross. We thank You that You loved us so much that You gave Your life for us, but that You rose again, showing that You are the Lord, that You are in charge of all. And we bring all this before You. We bring all of our questions, our worries, our doubts. We bring all of our joys before You, Lord. We bring everything this morning. It's in Your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.